We're going to do this one right here and get out of here and make way for the next group. This is one called The Creeper. We're going to do this one for James Cotton.
Welcome to BluePower.com. My name is John Reese, and you are listening to the finest blues anywhere in the world. Tonight, we are pleased to have with us Mr. Mark Hummel. Tonight, we're talking to Mr. Mark Hummel. Harp man extraordinaire. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John.
I'm so glad to have you, man.
Glad to have you.
I've been wanting a harp man for a long time because I don't know that much about it. I tried to play a harp, but, you know, it was kind of like a jitterbug, man. It was, just got away from me, man. I just couldn't do it, you know?
Thank you.
You think that's all I got? Do you think that's all I got? Uh-uh. Thank you very much and good night.
Mr. Mark Hummel and the Blues Survivors. Tell me, Mark, where were you playing?
I was playing in Toronto that night. The Silver Dollar.
The Silver Dollar.
Yeah.
Nice joint.
It's a blues joint. It's been there for years. It's actually even in it's in some Elmore Leonard books even.
Really?
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
Where is it exactly?
Oh, it's fairly near the university there. Kind of on the, I think it would be the west side of Toronto.
The west side of Toronto.
Yeah, by the university.
I love Toronto, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah, that's where the label I'm on is out of Toronto.
Yeah. Yep. Electrify.
Electrify.
How many other labels have you been on?
A lot. I've been on, the very first label I was on was a Dutch label called Double Trouble. And I think I did two releases for them. It's been kind of the two release syndrome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did two for them. The very first ones I did were my own.
Okay.
I think I had my own label called Rockinitis Records.
Rockinitis,
yeah.
I saw that.
That was back in the 80s, I had those. And then in 86, 87, I put out, I think, two or three, maybe it was three on Double Trouble. I can't remember. But I did that. And then the first U.S. release on a real label was on Flying Fish. I had two on Flying Fish. They ended up getting sold to Rounder and basically turned it into just a catalog label. Didn't release any more records on Flying Fish. So then I went to Tone Cool, who was also part of Rounder at the time. And then Rounder left, Tone Cool left Rounder, and when that happened, we kind of got dropped. Or actually, Susan Tedeschi made the big time, and all the other acts on the label fell by the wayside, including Mark Hummel and the Blues Survivors.
We were talking about that earlier, about how an artist who sells a lot of records can destroy a record company.
It can ruin a label. So this is actually my, I guess, fourth label that I've been on in 20 years. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
But, you know, I mean, that's...
But you're a blues man.
Yeah,
that's what blues men do.
That's true. That is what blues men do. Yeah, John Lee Hooker was on about 30 labels.
I know. and they're still on, label after label after label.
Right.
It's amazing.
The bottom line is you record for whoever's going to put out your stuff and pay you. That's the bottom line. You really don't see much in the way of royalties with most of these labels.
No.
So
it's good for work.
Yeah.
That's the way the label looks at it, too.
It's good advertising,
too. It's good advertising. Yeah. People ask me, several acts that I had worked with, well, what do you think, John? Should we go for the royalties or just let them, let them keep the money and say, go ahead, but just publicize us? I said, let them keep the money and let them publicize you.
Yeah, it's the Leonard Chess School of Recording, right?
There you go.
Pay them with a Cadillac.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pay them with a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Now, that last tune, The Creeper.
Yep.
Is that a James Cotton tune?
That's an old James Cotton number that I've been doing probably since I practically started playing the harmonica, or at least trying to play it back then.
Yeah.
And I've been playing 35 years, but James has been one of the hugest influences on my playing. I think him and Lil Walter, I'd have to say, are probably the very top two, you know, guys that I really have been inspired by. But I mean, as you'll see tonight, I've been inspired by countless harmonica players.
Absolutely.
And for that matter, countless band leaders and singers and songsters and saxophone, piano, guitar, everything.
Let's play that James Cotton tune.
Yeah. This is actually an Otis Spann tune that James is playing on, since we couldn't find anything right at the moment. But
what's the name of that? Do you remember?
This is one called Must Have Been the Devil. It was really Muddy's band that played on this recording. His band at the time, and this is like the mid-60s. With James Cotton on harmonica, Otis Spann on piano. I think I'm trying to remember who this is on a Prestige record that Otis Spann did called Blues Will Never Die. You have it on another record, but I know that's what it's from. It's from the Blues Will Never Die on Prestige.
I love a man that knows all his shit.
Oh, man. These are records. I mean, I'll tell you something about what we're playing today. We're playing a lot of records that were literally what got me started on the harmonica.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I mean, this record, for example, I mean, The Blues Will Never Die and a lot of the other James Cotton records, the ones that he played on, I should say. This was actually an Otis Spann record, but the stuff he played on, I learned him and Lil Walter's stuff. I mean, I learned every record they were on. If they were on a record, I would get that record. I would learn it note for note. And I did that with, I mean, almost everybody we're playing tonight.
Excellent. Well, let's play Otis Spann.
Sure.
And James Cotton.
Okay.
Here we go. Mr. Otis Spann, accompanied by Mr. James Cotton, harp extraordinaire. Mr. Mark Hummel, we're sitting with Mr. Mark Hummel tonight, a fantabulous blues man, harp player extraordinaire. one of the best tones I've ever heard.
Oh, well, thank you.
In all actuality.
We're playing so many great toned harp players tonight that you may change your mind.
Well, listen, I'm familiar with most of them.
But no, I mean, you know, I really owe what I got to these guys in particular, you know.
These are the people you listen to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
What was your first harp? Was it a Hohner?
Yeah, it was a Hohner Marine Band in the key of B. And actually, I was gonna ask you to play a cut that's on this. I think it's on the chess box of John Brim.
Played in
and it's actually on an A harp, and I remember I learned it on that B harp, and I thought it was in tune.
You're
so,
kidding?
Yeah,
really?
It's funny. Yeah,
John Brim's a great artist.
Oh yeah, John Brim was great.
I always
but
liked
it's got Little Walter playing behind him in first position. And I learned it on the wrong harp, and I still remember all the licks on it. And all
well, now
that.
Let's see if the key is in.
It would have been in the key of A.
In A, right? Because B is the four, right?
But I ended up playing it anyway on a B harmonica, so I must have had a fast turntable.
Isn't that the given though? If you're going to play a tune, say I'm playing in the key of E, then you want an A harp,
right? Now, that's second position.
That's the second
but there's,
position.
But there's first position, which is the same key as the main instrument, like the guitar or the piano.
Yeah.
There's also something called third position, which is where you play, I think it's one step down. So if the band's in the key of B, in third position, you would play on an A harmonica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it gets
pretty
scary.
Different. Yeah, that's pretty different. If there's something that I picked out on here, I'll play it of third position.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually got some songs I think that I recorded in third position.
How can you tell just by listening if it's in third position?
I can usually just tell the sound of it.
Well, that's because you
right.
But
for
if, I mean,
people,
for a novice, it doesn't make any.
Doesn't make much sense. Like I say, I learned that John Brim song. I learned it on a B harmonica, thinking it was in cross position. It was actually in first position.
Wow!
On the wrong harmonica.
Well, how do you get the seven scale in the first position, though?
Well, there's certain notes that aren't available to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now there's sort of a few different camps of harmonica here. There's somebody like me that's really a traditional blues harmonica, you know, player, and then you have a more kind of eclectic, adventurous school of harmonica players that play more in the sugar blue style, or there's a guy named Howard Levy that does a thing called overblowing. And Howard Levy, for example, he plays everything on one harmonica, on a Marine Band harmonica, every key.
In the every key? And what key does he play it in?
A C harmonica.
And he give you all the notes of the octave, right?
He plays everything on a C harmonica.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty mind-boggling when you hear him play.
You know, I used to record a bunch of harmonica players.
Right.
And they would always come in, you know, into the studio with a glass of water.
Huh. Oh, and soak
them. And they would soak the harps in the glass of water. It's kind of like what sax guys do with the reeds.
Right.
But I never understood why. Why is that?
Well, it's not a good thing to do, number one.
Okay.
Because when you do that, what you end up doing is swelling the reeds. And the reeds, a lot of times when you soak them, the reeds will actually, the blocks of wood will swell out. And it makes it really painful to play the harmonica like that. But the reason people do it is because it makes the harmonica louder and it gives you more action.
Really?
The harmonica, yeah. Yeah. I used to do it when I first started playing.
I'll be darned.
But I found out it was really bad for the harps, and it's really, like I say, the main thing is it makes the reed swell. If you're playing a wooden combed harp, it makes that comb swell up.
Are there different types of combs?
Oh, yeah. There's plastic combs, there's wood combs, but I use a Marine Band, which is a wood comb.
Wood comb.
Yeah, and those swell. So, I mean, you know, you can do it on, say, a plastic harp, but what ends up happening is you're putting that much moisture in it. Generally, unless you get all the moisture out, it's going to, like, eventually rust the reeds. I mean, which will happen with saliva, too.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, it's not, I mean, the worst thing you could do is put it in whiskey or something like that. Those guys would do, you know.
Whiskey.
But yeah, I mean, you know, that's what some of those guys would do, you know. They'd do whatever, you know. Stick it in bourbon and water, you know.
There was a time
If I could have put smothered my guitar in blow,
that would have been
now my fingers won't hurt anymore.
Right. Yeah. I don't lick my fingers.
I don't go there anymore. Right. Thanks. Thank the Lord.
That's right.
Do not go there anymore. What should we play next?
Let's play that John Brim one off of this. I think it
I don't think we put it down.
I remember it's the 10th cut on disc one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what we'll do is we'll take it off and we'll stick it right on. Hold on. We'll be right back.
All right.
John Reese of BluePower.com sitting here with Mr. Mark Hummel, and we're listening to The Ice Cream Man by Mr. John Brim. Correct, Mark?
Right.
And this is the one that is in, what did you call
it?
The
key of A, but I was playing it on a B harmonica.
Oh, my God.
Even though it was supposed to be on an A harmonica.
Summertime is here. Need something to keep you cool. Now, summertime is here. Need something to keep you cool. Hey, little girl, I've got something for you. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Now cool your little girl. The guarantee I'm satisfied. I got cream sandwiches, Dixie cup, popsicles, and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Now I cool your little girl, I guarantee I'm satisfied. About 11 o'clock. I used to come along just about 11 o'clock. Now if you let me cool you off this time, you'll be my regular star. I got all flavors, including pineapple too. I got all flavors, including pineapple too. I want my flavor, little girl, the guy to be just right for you.
The Ice Cream Man, Mr. John Brim. He's a hell of an artist. I think we played John for probably about 10 years now.
Yeah.
My goodness, I just heard a harp. Oh, is that? That's Doug Deutsch is sitting with us tonight. Mr. Doug Deutsch, the PR expert here in Los Angeles, California, a dear friend of mine probably now for, hell, almost 15 years, right?
As long as you put up with me.
That's right. Absolutely. Mark, I'm going to ask you now. I know you play with some great people. Tell us about some of the people you played with.
Well, I've played with quite a few. I mean, you know, there's certainly some people I wish I would have played with. But, I mean, the ones that I think I did the most work with were probably Lowell Folsom and Brownie McGhee. And I also had Charles Brown on a couple different records. I played with Eddie Taylor, if you know who that is, in Chicago.
Yeah. Guitar player.
I played a little bit with Jimmy Rogers. I brought him and Billy Boy Arnold out in 1992, I think it was. Brought him out to California. And Luther Tucker, Francis Clay, who's on that the one CD of Johnny Dyer, mm-hmm. who just turned 82. God, Jimmy McCracklin.
The Walkman.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else, man. I mean, you know, to be honest with you, it kind of gets gets to be harder.
Gets a bit blurry after a while.
Blurry, yeah, it gets very blurry because that was all a long time ago. But I mean, you know, I mean, in terms of harmonica, I've worked with I think almost everybody that's you know still with us basically. You know, James Cotton has done like three of my meltdown or blowout tours.
Mm-hmm.
And each tour is like, you know, anywhere between 10 days and 2 weeks. And so
well, tell us about that.
James has done three of them. Snooki Pryor, came out and did one. I think, Kerry Bell's done two of them. Anson Funderburg and Sam Myers did one. Paul Rochelle and Annie Raines. Billy Boy Arnold, Charlie Musselwhite's done a couple of them. Kim Wilson's done like three of them. Rod Piazza's done one. My friend Rick Estrin from Little Charlie and the Nightcats. Billy Branch has done a couple. Paul DeLay's done about three of them. I mean, almost everybody pretty much out there.
Yeah.
The guys I got coming up for next year are the first. They're ones I've never worked with before. I mean, not on the blowouts. I've done gigs with them, but Lee Oscar and uh-huh. Jerry Portnoy and Magic Dick are all guys that I have not had on the blowouts before. So they're kind of the newcomers of who I've had.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
You do that every year?
I do it every year.
And it's like over a series of cities?
It'll be 15 years this coming January. It'll
My
be 15
God.
Years I've been doing this. It's really cities all over California, and I've done quite a few festivals as well with the blowouts. Done the Chicago Blues Festival, the San Francisco Blues Festival, North Atlantic Blues Festival, Edmonton Blues Festival, New York Rhythm and Blues Festival, King Biscuit twice I've done.
No more, though.
Well, no, it's just changed its name.
Okay.
That's all. That's an ugly story.
Yeah, I know, you know, but it's worth repeating.
Well,
I really, unless you don't want to, you know?
Well, it's kind of a really sad. It's a sad situation. I mean, the King Biscuit Festival has been going now for 20 years. It's literally, and I'm not just saying this, it's my favorite blues festival.
Now, how long has the King Biscuit Flower Hour been going? It's been going since, what, the late 20s, the 30s?
Well, no. See, the King Biscuit show, it was called King Biscuit Time, and it was on KFFA Radio in Helena, Arkansas.
Right.
That show started in either the late 30s or the early 40s,
okay.
At least the early 40s.
I know it was back there.
Yeah, the early 40s and went through the early 60s until Sonny Boy finally died, but the show was it was for the King Biscuit Flour Company, who made like a cornmeal and something else in Helena, Arkansas,
yeah.
And they advertised by using Sonny Boy Williamson to go on their radio program for like 15 minutes a day at noon, and he would advertise all his gigs, plug the flour, and you know, play with the band live on the air, and I mean, you know, this was like Pine Top Perkins playing with him.
I have a bunch
Robert
of shows.
Robert Jr. Lockwood.
Yeah.
I mean, all these guys played with him. Joe Willie Wilkins. And all these guys, you know, played with him on the air doing the show. Well, what happened was in the early 70s, I remember the show being on the air because the show called King Biscuit Flower Hour, which basically took the name from the King Biscuit Time and did rock bands on these broadcasts. And I always thought, how strange that they do rock bands with this blues name.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like calling yourself the Chess Records Hour and having like Leonard Skinner and, and you know, and Bon Jovi.
Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of what it would be like, you know. So anyway, what they did was they had all these rock bands come on the show. And it didn't seem like it lasted all that long, but I guess they've held on to the name since the early 70s. And so this year, when they did the King Biscuit's 20th anniversary, they got this legal, you know, court ruling that said that the King Biscuit Flower Hour has been designated the owner of King Biscuit, and that they cannot use the title this 20th anniversary year at the King Biscuit Festival in Helena, Arkansas, which is a strictly blues festival put on for free. No, there's no admission to it. And it's run by the state, you know, and the state basically sponsors it. And so anyway, they basically held them up on the name.
Held
them for ransom. Said, unless you want to pay us a certain amount of money or give us a certain percentage of your commissions for sales, then we're not going to let you use the name. And so now the King Biscuit is the King Biscuit Festival is now being changed to the Helena, Arkansas, or Helena or Arkansas Blues and Heritage Festival. I think it's Arkansas Blues and Heritage Festival.
That's good.
Which is fine. But what happened, it turned out, I just got an email like 2 days ago from Jerry Pillow, the guy that runs the festival in Helena, and he said that the King Biscuit Flower Hour is doing their own King Biscuit Festival in Memphis with this promoter who they've teamed up with to do rock acts. Now, if that's not confusing to the general public, I don't know what is.
We'll see how they do at the box office.
Well, let's hope the blues fans don't get confused. That's all I can say.
Well, you know what blues fans will do. They'll just tear the place down.
Well, I think...
Drive their bikes through the...
I don't know what's going to happen, but it's a sad...
It's all for the money.
Sad bunch of BS. That's all I can say.
It's all about the money.
Yeah.
Now, what would you like to play next? This is your show.
Let's do something of Muddy Waters. How about that?
Okay.
Because Muddy Waters was... like we were playing John Brim, and that was Little Walter playing behind John Brim on that song, which was one of the very first songs I ever heard Little Walter playing on.
Okay.
And Muddy Waters was the guy that really had all the great harp players in Chicago in his bands. He had Big Walter Horton. He had Little Walter. He had George Harmonica Smith. He had James Cotton. He had Junior Wells.
Yeah.
And then a lot of guys that came later, like Paul Asher Jerry Portnoy and guys like that. So, you know.
And I have a CD here of Muddy Live.
Yeah. Why don't you play that? That's. Trouble No More. Let's play that one.
Trouble No More?
Yeah.
Let's see if I've got. If it's not. Yeah, Trouble No More. Here it comes.
Yeah.
I don't care as long as you're gone. I don't care as long as you stay here. Good time treatment. Gonna bring her home someday. But someday, baby, you ain't gonna trouble for me anymore. You just keep on betting that the dice don't pay. Well, you know, darling, you are living too fast. But someday, baby, you ain't gonna trouble for me anymore. I'm gonna tell everybody in your neighborhood, you're a sweet little girl, you don't mean me no good. But someday, baby, you ain't gonna trouble for me anymore. No more trouble, John.
Singing and playing slide guitar, George Harmonica Smith on the harmonica, Pine Top Perkins on the piano, Sammy Lawhorn on the guitar, Pee Wee Madison on the guitar, Calvin Fuzz Jones on the bass, and Willie Big Eyes Smith on the drums.
Damn good band.
That was a hell of a band. And George Harmonica Smith is another one of the guys that was a big influence, mainly because I grew up in Los Angeles, and he was... about the only guy that had lived in Chicago and played with Muddy and lived out here.
Yeah.
And so he was a major influence, I think, on most of the harmonica players in Southern California, myself included.
This is the gentleman, Smith to Smith, you were talking about.
Yeah, this is George Harmonica Smith.
Smith, right?
Right, George Harmonica Smith. And so he's playing harmonica on here. He had actually played off and on with Muddy Waters for years, but he would kind of stay for a few months and then go and then stay, go, you know. And he had his own career by the time he did this record, big time, and I think he was just kind of filling in.
Well, I tell you what, I expect to learn a lot more by the time the night's over from you. Because, well, I mean, good. The harmonica players, I know, you know, like Little Walter,
right.
James Cotton, right. I know Muddy Waters, mm-hmm. Sonny Boy, I know those. And yeah. Since I'm a guitar player, well, I mean, I know the guitar.
Those are the main godfathers
yeah,
of the blues
now,
harmonica
you know,
for
I also
bands.
Learned to love Frank Frost.
Right. Okay. Frank Frost was great.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just...
The guy that played with Frank Frost was really good. A guy named, who's still around, a guy named Arthur Williams out of St. Louis. Who I think I've selected one of his cuts on here, too. Okay. So we'll play that.
All right. So I want to ask you a question now
sure.
before we go to the next cut.
Yeah.
Who was the first harp player to blow through an amp?
Well, that's been a long disputed story that, you know, about 10 guys will claim they were the first ones. One was George Harmonica Smith claimed he was one of the first guys to play through an amp because he worked at a theater in, I think, Cairo, Illinois, and claimed that he used to play through the...
PA?
The PA.
Yeah.
Another guy that claimed it was Snooky Pryor, claimed that when he was in the South Pacific in the Army, they used to play the microphone that they blew Reveille through, that he would go on the PA system there and play his harp through that.
I'll be darned.
So you got a lot of guys that claimed... I mean, I know for a fact that, for example, Sonny Boy One, John Lee Williamson, who was in Chicago, there are photographs of him in the late 40s playing through an amp. Through an amp, yeah.
What kind of amp do you play through?
Well, I play through quite a few. I mean, I've got a few at home. The main one I'm playing through now is called a Meteor.
Okay.
And it's a boutique amp, they call it. In other words, it's a custom-made yeah. amp. And I play through that. It's got a 12 and two 10-inch speakers.
Woo.
And it's really an awesome sounding amp.
Man.
Yeah, it's really a great rig.
You got plenty of low end for sure. Right?
Yeah, that's what's beautiful about it. Yeah. It's got a lot of push. It'll really reach the back of a room, and I can play a fairly good sized room with it, and it'll really reach. And then the other amp I have a Victoria, which is like a Bassman,
mm-hmm.
and then I have a real Bassman.
Bassman's a great amp.
Which are really worth a lot
of money.
It's
got eights or tens in it.
It's got, they all have tens in them.
Tens.
Yeah, both the Victoria has four tens and their original Bassman has four tens. I've got a Concert, which has four tens. I mean, generally what I've had in the past is four tens on almost every amp.
Yeah.
But the Meteor is the first time I've really played through a 12 and the tens. And it gets just an awesome sound out of it.
Excellent.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of the stuff like what you heard on the live CD, I'm playing through the Victoria with the 410s. The Johnny Dyer one that we're going to play in a minute. On that, I'm playing through, my original Bassman, and I had it, jury-rigged with a Princeton.
Uh-huh.
Which got a hell of a sound.
A Princeton.
Yeah.
The little Princeton.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Between the two, it got a hell of a sound. So you'll hear what the tone is like on that. So
well, excellent.
You know, a lot of it is you use different amps and you use, like, different microphones and you get different sounds with each one. So
you're playing that, what was it, a Meteor, you said?
It's called a Meteor.
The Meteor, and you play that on Don't Go No Further?
Well, actually, I was playing the original 59 Bassman on Don't Go No Further.
Oh, one of my favorite amps.
Yeah.
So, why don't we play that with John?
Yeah, so this is the album we're playing is called Rolling Fork Revisited, which is on Mountaintop Records.
Yeah.
And it's an album we recorded with Johnny Dyer. Paul Osher played guitar on it, a little bit of harmonica. Rusty Zinn played some guitar on it. Francis Clay, the original drummer for Muddy Waters, played on three or four cuts on it. So it came out really good. I'm really happy with the way it came out. Johnny sang on it.
All right. Mr. Johnny Dyer, Mr. Mark Hummel, don't go no further.
Make me go to
Just come on home to me. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. Somebody gonna love me. On home to me. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. Somebody gonna love me. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. I got to love somebody. Somebody gonna love me.
Mr. Johnny Dyer and Mr. Mark Hummel, don't go no further. And that's on Mountaintop Records, right?
Yeah, that came out on Mountaintop.
Yeah, that's a good record, man.
Yeah.
You guys made a real good record.
That record has gotten a lot of really nice reviews. I wish it would have sold more, but it's gotten really rave reviews.
Well, it's a great record because, I mean, normally I don't write good on the back of the whole thing. I'll pick stuff, you know.
Right.
But everything on here sounds real good.
That's a hell of a record.
Of course, you got an awful lot of McKinley Morganfield tunes on
it's
here.
It's all money.
It's all
the whole
money.
Record is money. We tried to pick songs that weren't overdone. That was a big part of what we tried to do was to pick the ones that hadn't been just done to death.
Yeah.
You know, Got My Mojo Working and Hoochie Coochie Man. I mean, you know, and Johnny can do the hell out of those numbers, but the fact is that, you know, they've just been recorded so much.
Where's Johnny from, you know?
Johnny's from Clarksdale. He's from right where Rolling Fork. He's right
from there.
Right from where Muddy lived, yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, he grew up on the same, like, you know, just maybe right down the road from the plantation Muddy grew up on.
It's amazing because I have a very dear friend named Terry Evans.
Oh, yeah.
He's a blues guy.
I know
and he's from Clarksdale.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And an amazing guy. More R&B, I think, than the blues.
More gospel.
More gospel. You're a great, wonderful singer.
He's a great singer.
Yeah, he's a great singer.
Sure.
Where are you going from here? Where are you going? You're on tour, right?
Oh, no, no.
You're
I'm just
off
down
now?
Here. I was just down here for Thanksgiving doing a couple gigs.
Well, is Doug doing you any good? Any press, he comes in here with
he's
5 inches of newspapers
he's showing
here.
Showing me, showing off, man.
It's because I'm small and I try to sit on the seat. I need to be elevated.
No, he's been getting me a lot of press. He did a bang up job on the last Harp blowout.
Excellent.
And really got us press for days on that.
And he's like a pit bull.
Yeah,
he bites down, he never lets go, and he loves his artists. And I've always told him this. He has upset me greatly many times, okay? But I love him because he believes in his artists, and he pushes them.
That's what it's
as
about.
Hard as he can. Yeah, and I have a lot about. Of I have got a lot of respect for that.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. All right. Now shut up. Sit in the corner.
Okay. That's all you get.
how about little Junior Wells?
That sounds
Does
good.
Does that sound all right to you?
Yeah, Junior was one. He was probably the first harmonica player I ever saw play.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you see him play?
I saw him at the Rose Bowl.
Woo!
In 1968, he was on a show. Him and Buddy Guy were on a show. Listen to this. This was the lineup. Frank Zappa and the Mothers, Country Joe and the Fish, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Albert King, Buddy and Junior, Joan Baez, The Byrds.
Oh, my God.
God, I'm trying to think. There was a bunch I'm sure I'm leaving out, but it was $3.
$3.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing to see all that talent?
And I remember they came out there and they were wearing shark skin suits, and I thought, oh, man, it sounds too much like James Brown with all the horns on it.
Really?
So I didn't really get it. But then as soon as I started playing the harmonica, I mean, about a year or two later, I started playing the harmonica, and it was like, you know, I got way into Junior Wells.
Junior Wells, man.
Yeah.
I believe his Biggie was Messing with the Kid, wasn't it?
That was certainly the one people know him for, yeah.
Now, we're going to play Cha-Cha-Cha in Blue.
Yeah.
That all right with you?
Great, Cut.
All right. That's a bizarre cut.
Yes, it is.
It's a bizarre
cut. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, the cowbell.
Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. And I think they renamed it Cut My Toenail.
Cut My Toenail. Yeah. I wonder why they would.
Who knows? I think they added some other instrument onto it so they could change the title of it. Yeah, that's a great one, though.
Well, I tell you what. You know, listening to your album when Doug brought it over to me, and there was one cut on here in particular that I really liked. It's called Lost a Good Man.
Yeah.
Now, you wrote that tune, right?
Yeah.
And the name of your company is Humble Bug Music?
That's the publisher.
Is it BMI, ASCAP, or CSAP?
It's BMI.
It's BMI. Yeah. Are they treating you good?
They always send me a little check. They send it when it counts.
It counts. Isn't it wonderful to get those checks
like,
in the mail?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the middle of December when you spend all your money on Christmas shopping. You know?
Sure.
Yeah,
exactly.
Make it through the month.
Does this song have a story?
Yeah, this is a true story. This is one of my divorce songs.
Uh-oh. Why don't you tell? Yeah.
Pretty ugly, but, what are you going to say,
I've
man?
Had a few of those myself.
Yeah, I think anybody that has, knows what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to Mr. Mark Hummel now on Electrify Records. Lost a Good Man. Right. We won't go any further than that, okay?
Okay.
Well, you let me be not that long ago. Well, you hurt me bad. I want you to know. But I'm so much better. I know the best I can. And you lost a good man. When we first met, thought we were meant to be. But it didn't take long for me to see. When you told me, baby, get a better plan, then you lost a good man. Lost a good man. Well, I have a girl who treats me right. She don't try to change me. Let me noon and night. And she's always there to be my everything. And you lost a good man.
A good man, Mr. Mark Hummel.
All right,
that's a nice cut, man.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I can.
That gets
I
a
can.
Good response, that song.
I can understand where that song came from.
A lot of people understand that.
Oh
one.
Yeah, well, that happens all
I'll
the time, don't
you,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
I'm
just.
I'm tired of doing songs like that.
Yeah.
I want to write some good love songs. You know. Yeah, I've since remarried, and,
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how long ago was this song written, Lost a Good Man?
That was written, I think, in 96.
96.
Something like that. But I've been with my wife now for 10 years. So I think I wrote it probably...
After the fact, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, me and my current wife were just getting together around the time because I mentioned her in this song. So, yeah. That's how I know, you know.
What is your current wife's name?
Her name is Alexis.
Alexis. That's a beautiful name.
Uh-huh.
And you have any children?
I have two stepdaughters and a daughter.
Excellent.
And I just took my daughter to the airport just now and...
Put her on a plane.
Put her on a plane back to Missouri. But I mean, that's the blues, man. You
absolutely.
Know, it's like, you know, it's the price you pay, unfortunately, for being a road musician and all that stuff.
I know. Yep. I tell you what we're going to do. We're getting close to the first hour here.
Okay.
We're going to take it out. What would you like to take out this part with? Got any ideas?
Oh, man, why don't we play some Lil Walter since he's one of my main men as well. Let's do Fast Boogie by Lil Walter. That's a great one.
You're on. We'll be back after Lil Walter's Fast Boogie. BluePower.com, bringing you the finest blues in the world. Listen to Mr. Little Walter and Fast Boogie. We will be back with Mr. Mark Hall any minute now. Fast Boogie, you are tuned to BluePower.com, home of the best blues in the world. We're sitting here talking to Mr. Mark Hummel, and we will be back with part two. Stay tuned.